This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What We Spend is a new podcast that explores something we almost never talk about. Every week, you'll hear a different guest share everything they spend their money on. What We Spend is available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Boy, if the Eagles can come up with their one turnover of the game right here, that would be ceiling. Brady back again. He steps up, he's hit, and falls forward.
He
fumbles the football, and the Eagles have it. It is recovered by Barnett. Brady fumbles, and Barnett has the ball.
They finally hit Brady.
Now, that's the way to start this show off. Welcome on in. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gilley, you guys with us. 215-592-9494 on BG Day tonight. BG Live. And Hugh, good morning. And we got ourselves a special guest in the studio to start our show today, Brandon Graham.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Philadelphia. That's all I got this morning.
How about good morning, Brandon Graham?
Brandon, you know, I was going to speak to Brandon. Good morning, B. How you doing, man?
Good morning, Hugh. What up, man?
Not much, man. Not much. It's BG Day, man. Happy to be here. You know, I like, full disclosure, I had the days mixed up. I thought Cinco de Mayo was yesterday.
Yeah, when we
people kind of celebrated
now that, that we're here, Brandon, when we announced this, we were like, Hugh, we're doing this on Cinco de Mayo. He's like, wait, we're doing it on a Sunday? And no, we're not doing it on a Sunday. Cinco de Mayo is a Monday.
Yeah, I messed
so
up.
So you're good.
Man.
We're all here. It's BG Day. It's Cinco de Mayo. How are you, BG?
Oh, man, I'm feeling good. You know, I'm feeling thirsty.
Yeah, well, you're probably not the only one out there. What is this? I got to ask you just to start us off, and we'll talk to him. We're excited to have you for this segment. What's this like for you? Like, not just the retirement and the last few weeks, but today. Like, having today, because, you know, I know WIP's here 24 hours a day, but we don't usually have special days like this. Like, this entire day is for you. What does it mean to you that we're doing this? And not just the hosts here, it's at the listeners. Like, we wanted to do this for you. What does it mean to you that we're having this day?
Man, it means a lot. You never know your impact. Even then, like, yeah, they doing this day, but it just inspired me to just keep having that impact. Others have their own impact and believe in it. Believe in what you bring to the table. And I think for me, it's been a bunch of times where I wanted to kind of take another role as far as, like, you know, being Mr. Positive, and that's my name, that's what they call, but you kind of wanted to go against it to let people know I could be a little negative sometimes too, but it's like, no, I'm gonna be me. And so I'm just, if anything, I want the kids out there to say, hey man, don't let nobody deter you from, you know, who you are. Be who you are. You never know your impact. Thankful for this moment right now, but it just motivated me to just make sure, even after this, to stay focused on what you bring in the next phase of your life. So just be me. I'm thankful to be here and thankful that they had this day for me.
You know what, BG, my question to you is this, because you've had a unique career arc from the beginning until now. So my question to you is, how do you stay as grounded as you are? Because like I said, when you started out, man, it was a little rough, mm-hmm. and you got to the point that you're at now. How did you remain grounded in all of this time?
Well, in the beginning, it was people that I had around me. Then became my wife. And then my wife been that saving grace as far as making sure that, you know, she's there, talking with her, getting the stuff out, and then putting my game face on, my hard hat on, and get back to work. But I felt like for me, I had to own that and actually do it, because it's easy to say, oh, I'm going to talk to this person, but you don't be as vulnerable as you need to be. It's mm-hmm. not. It's no point, because you're still thinking about it. You're still worried. And I think it's the people that I had around me, man, because it wasn't easy. But, you know, you find the people that you can talk to and get some stuff out, where it's been a safe. It was a safe place for me. And my wife has been that for me. You know, of course, everybody know, you know, my faith in the Lord, you know, praying and doing all that, too. But at the same time, you know, he brought the people in my life for a reason. So I try to maximize on making sure I lean on them and during them hard times, because it was tough.
Do you realize that what you've accomplished, and I'm not talking about the Super Bowls, but to be with one team for 15 years, do you realize what you've accomplished? Like, I don't, because like when I talk to you about it, we talk about it, I don't really think the gravity of that has set in for you yet.
Not
because
yet.
you look around this station. Everybody at this station has had another stop somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Most every NFL player in their career has had a stop somewhere else.
Yep.
You've been in one place your whole career. Do you realize how significant that is?
Not at all. I know it is, and it's rare, like you said, because, I mean, for me, it's crazy how the guy I looked up to, Ray Lewis, you know, he was with one organization, and I played linebacker before I, you know, blew up and went to D-line. But it's all good. Like, that was my guy. But, man, I didn't play 17, but, boy, 15, I was like, wow,
BG,
that's crazy.
15 years crazy. In the trenches.
In the trenches, man.
With one team.
Mm-hmm.
With one team.
And made it through Chip Kelly, because Chip Kelly, boy, man. He was, if you wasn't an Oregon boy, you was not on my team. You know, it was people that in these moments in time, man, it was like crucial moments, because I definitely was going to bet on myself and go somewhere else when Chip was offering me, was kind of lowballing me a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then we ended up coming to an agreement. But, yeah, that was the only time I was like risking to go. After that Super Bowl, though, I knew I wasn't going nowhere, and we was going to always try to make it work, but I didn't know it was going to be 50. Well, at that time, it was going to be, 8 more years later after year 7.
That's crazy. That is crazy.
BG, what would you, if I said to you 15 years ago, let's take it, you know, go back to 2010, 2011, 2012, early in your career, and if you had, either I was talking to you or you just turned the radio on day and you heard me saying, Brandon Graham's going to be here 15 years. He's going to set the record for most games played as an Eagle. He's going to win 2 Super Bowls here. Like, what would you have thought if you heard that? Did you envision big things like that? Or would that have sounded impossible back in the early days?
Really, it was only like 10 years. I was like, man, if I could get double-digit years, that'd be sweet. Not knowing if it was going to be here or not. And then, of course, man, if I can make this much in them 10 years, you know, all the stuff to try to prepare, get you ready for your family and stuff like that. But I would have been, one, a big fan, like, oh, he believe in
that
me
guy
like that?
Knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, let's go. But I got to actually put in the work. And at that time, boy, training camp was work. Man, yeah. I don't know if I could
have been. Old days.
In them old days, if it was 2 days for real, 10 years. That's why I'm like, if I can make it 10 years, boy. Because that first year, I remember one time, me and Nate Allen, we was in the hot tub getting ready, getting our legs ready for the practice. And, man, all I know is he was like, man, I didn't know that it could be this hard in training camp. I'm like, man, I know. Man, I just, honestly, man, it challenged you on how much you love the game, because Coach Reed was going to get it out you. And he didn't care. We was going for 3 weeks straight. It was no off days like what we got now, and thankful for that. But, man, I'm telling you, I wouldn't have probably made it. I thought you would have been crazy for 15.
Most people
that
think
style.
I'm crazy, so it works
that
out.
Style.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hugh, I just thought about this as BG said it. This might be Jason was just in here. We say hi to him. BG's here. We're never going to talk to players again, like current, you know, or players are about to be done, that know what that training camp is like. It's over now.
Yeah.
Because we're there now every year. And, like, you know, a couple years ago, we were doing shows from there, BG, and you guys were off the field in, like, an hour and 10. This past year was a little longer, right? You guys a little, but still, I remember those days in Lehigh. Like, it's nothing like that again.
Ooh,
those days are over.
Oh, yeah, man. No question, man. I remember them days. And, you know, BG used to tell me, oh, man, you would have loved to be in these training camps. And I used to get a little jealous because I'm like, damn, if I could have just came in a little bit later, I could have stayed a little bit longer.
You would have, for sure. You would have been dogging. I'm telling you. I know. You was already a dog. But
man,
like,
I tell you.
Man.
But I remember when Andy Reid drafted you, and you probably remember this, but I came in the locker room to meet you because Andy was like, yeah, man, I'm drafting this kid from Michigan. He reminds me of somebody. And I remember meeting you, and I was just like, wow, like your attitude, your demeanor. And since that day, you have, throughout all that you've been through, you've never changed. You've been the same person since day one.
Man.
That's commendable.
You.
That is commendable. And I you know, when we talk, a lot of times, because it's still fresh for you, you're gonna look back on these days, man, and you're gonna look back and you're, because I really don't think you realize what you've accomplished. I mean, you're living in it, but you, I don't really think you realize what you accomplished, man. And I can tell you from an older guy, guy that's played the game, a lot of us look up to you because it's something that we all wanted to do and have that type of career. We just didn't do it. So we commend you for that, man. That's a hell of an accomplishment. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I really, really do.
Appreciate you, Hugh, man. All the talks we done had, man, I thank you just for even helping me, you know, just with a couple of those moments of, man, well, now I'm done. How you feeling? Like, how did I feel? You know, I mean, how you felt during this time? And, you know, just threw some ideas out there on something to think about. And I can appreciate that because, man, that's just a choice you made to try to help me. And, man, I'm excited for what's to come, but it is something new.
No, you got choices, man. You got choices because you're here, and whatever you want to do, I would think that, and I'm pretty sure, Joe, sky's the limit for you right now. Sky is definitely the limit for you.
Yep.
Brandon Graham with us live in studio. It's BG Day here on WIP tonight at the Colonial Theater in Phoenixville. BG Live. Brandon, last week, and we today a lot of people were calling in, former coaches, teammates. So last week, Howie called in. He was on the afternoon show last week, and they asked him about you and your guys' relationship. And he talked about a story back early in your career. I think he said it was in Miami. You guys talked before a game kind of like, hey, if you succeed, I succeed. If I succeed, you succeed. I mean, you were his first draft pick when he became the GM. What's it been like, you and him together in this ride? Because you've both been here, and you both had some special, special moments together and some lower ones, right, in the beginning of both years. What's it been like doing this with Howie kind of on that same career track as him?
You had to be vulnerable in those moments because, I mean, with me, I used to get guys, man, don't trust the ownership. Don't trust this. Don't trust because they are for themselves. And I understand. It's like I had to learn the business side, and it's like it's nothing personal. It's just they work for the organization. They're going to do what's best for the organization. So I got to make sure I handle my business accordingly. So sometimes it's the back and forth that you're going to have, even off the field, even when it's not your agent talking to him, it's sometimes you get cornered and he want to talk to you and be like, hey, man, let's get this thing done. Let's do this. And it's like, man, you got to have that. You got to be vulnerable in this. And so I let Howie in. Me and Howie definitely has grown because at that time in Miami, I was so mad because he deactivated me. But it was like, you know what? All right. He pulled me outside. I remember he pulled me outside the locker room and he was just like, look, you need to get your act together. Come on, man. Like, we ain't waste our first round pick on you for no reason. We believe in you. Like you say, we go in this together. You're my first pick, and I want nothing but the best for you. But you got to make sure you're putting in the work a little more and make sure you're taking this more serious. And I understood what he was saying because it was more to that than what, you know, he said. But it's more – it was something that I needed at the time, and it was a good experience to overcome that, because now when we talk about it, it's just like, wow, man, remember that? That was a crossroad in my career where I could have folded and I didn't, and I just, you know, handled it the right way I was supposed to. And man, Howie, for sure, we got a better relationship than what we had when we started.
That's pretty interesting because, you know, Howie, I saw that in Howie and how personable he is. And I commend him for that because I was here with Joe Banner. Mm-hmm. And Joe, like, I like Joe, but Joe was not the type of guy that was very warm and fuzzy. You know, that just wasn't him. So I commend Howie for that. But I have a question for you, BG, because I know you're about to leave in a minute. Mm-hmm. But I need to know. Okay, I'm going to take you back in the time machine just a little bit.
Let's go.
Y'all won the Super Bowl, right? But I'm going to take you back a couple months before that happened. You're getting ready to do a show at Chicken and Pete's with Howard Eskin at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to know. What, like, driving in, what was the thought process when you said, you know what? I'm about to flame A.J. Brown. I'm about to flame him.
Technically last year.
Yeah. What was that thought process like? Because before you tell me, I'm going to tell you what happened. So I'm driving in. Right, so I'm getting ready. Because, you know, we do the show, me and I do the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm listening to the show. But I'm not listening. I'm driving, but I'm not listening. And Ike texted me, dog, you hear BG? And I'm like, I hear him, but I don't hear him.
Yep.
So then when I heard you, oh, bruh, you took the governor off. You went straight, like you went in. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, wow. And so that's when I got there.
Uh-huh.
And you said, hey, how did I? I said, yeah, it was bad.
I know you did.
You can't lie.
Joe, I said, we're going to talk about you tomorrow. But yep. It's cool. We're gonna be kind.
Yeah.
But we about to let you have it, dog. We about to let you have it. So my question to you is this. What was the thought process before that show? What was on your mind? What was going through your mind, man?
Honestly, it was just more of like, man, we know the passing ain't good. It was what he said to the media, and I wanted, it's like, as a leader, it's tough because you know you're going to have to answer to that and the back and forth with, you know, the offense struggling. And it's like, my biggest thing was, all right, I kept talking to myself, hey, man, it's all good. It's good.
You keep trying to keep calm.
Because it's like, I've been through this before. It's okay. And so, man, he just asked me at a time where I just wanted to just say, handle your business. And I tried to do it the best way I could at that time. Like, man, don't give him that ammo. That's all I was really saying.
Uh-huh.
Handle your business with your guy. And that was it. But, boy, it didn't come out like that.
No, it was great. Great radio. Great radio. Listen, man, we rode that horse for a couple weeks.
I ain't listening to none of it either.
And you know what? It worked, though.
My wife was even, like, sick. Like, we even wasn't listening to nothing.
It worked, though. Yeah. I mean, everything was good. No, you guys won.
That's all I cared about. I was like, man, how we bounce back from this, it's either going to help us or not. But I just wanted them guys to just, because I knew how special we was building to that.
Mm-hmm.
And so all those little distractions, just, you know how it is. You can't have that. You can't have it. And so it was like, I did the best I could at that time.
Yeah, you was trying to be diplomatic.
Yeah.
But it was not received that way.
It wasn't received that way.
And I just want to say thank you for that, because that was great radio for
us. Oh, man. But you know what? I know that I've said not to do that, and I did that myself. So I was happy the way I handled talking with the team. Hey, man, that was my bad. You know, two wrongs don't make it right.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the end of the day, I said what I said. Me and AJ talked. Me and Jalen talked. Then I talked to the team, said my apology, and then we moved on from it. And boy, I ended up crying. Even when I was, you know, talking with the guys, like, you know, just letting them know, like, this means something to me, man. I want us to win this thing, but we can't do that. We got to stay connected. And so that's what was my whole message. And I'm glad everybody, because that next game, boy, them boys was balling.
Oh, yeah.
And then look how it happened at the end. Everybody was balling. Like, AJ, Devontae.
Yes.
Like, I mean, they both, like, you know.
So it was neat.
It wasn't. I mean, man, I'm looking forward to how they do this year, you know, with them being, now y'all the guys. Y'all the real guys now. So when stuff come up, now y'all going to have to handle all that. And so that's all I ever wanted for them, man, is just to keep growing. All of us, even for myself, just that was a problem that we had to have. And so sometimes it got aired out, and it aired out the way people perceived it. And man, we ended up coming back from that.
Winning the
Super Bowl. So I'm thankful for that. But yeah, I wasn't.
And now, then, Joe, you gotta have a come to Jesus moment.
Oh, we had that moment.
I mean, he was asking for that come to Jesus moment for a year.
I was like,
you did.
Sometimes you just need to have a come to Jesus moment.
Yeah, you do. And that was our moment at the time. And I mean, it was people mad at first, but I feel like they know my heart, and they know that it wasn't coming from a malice place. But I'm just saying, handle your business, man. Talk with your guy. Everybody don't need to be in it. And, you know, at the end of the day, if the passing is bad, well, let's spend a little extra on it, you know, after. So that's all I really was saying.
All right, so today's a day for all sorts of fun questions. I got a tough fun question, though, for you.
Okay.
At its best, better team, last year's Eagles or 2017?
Man, 2017, I came to go off my boy. They were the first
team. They were the first.
And then come behind them, though, man. I can't lie. This one was fun to be a part of, and this one was a dominating experience, because going to those three Super Bowls, one, it was a back and forth where we make a play and then we win the game. Second one, we lose. It came down to the end, and we made a penalty that cost us the game. Then this one was so nice because it was like
a dominating.
Oh, man.
It was just like enjoy it the whole time.
And it was the team that beat you the last time. So I'm thankful for those three experiences, but I got to go with my number one, because that's the one that changed my career and my trajectory of my career. And it started going up as I continued to play the next 8 years. And so I was just thankful for that. It felt like those were my prime years, those 8 years that after that. So I got to credit that one.
Can you remember what you were thinking as you lined up for the snap that became the Brady strip sack? Like, can you go back to that moment? I mean, we all talk mm-hmm. about the moment and the play and like how you made your move inside to make the play. But what were you thinking in that moment? Because that game is... It's one of the greatest football games I've ever seen. Just the back, you said back and forth, back mm-hmm. and forth. But you needed a play on defense to finish it.
And so that's what I was thinking was, all right, I'm in the middle. Coach Swartz had the turbo. He was thinking that it was going to be a pass on that play, so he called turbo. That's where I lined from outside to inside as a defensive tackle. And I knew Fletch was going to get all the attention. So I knew one-on-one at least if it was mine, but I was going to – I told Chris to cover me, and which means like if I go too high past the quarterback, he was supposed to fold inside to make sure that he doesn't escape through the inside gaps. And so when I got past the guard, I ended up seeing Brady right there. I reached my arm, closed my eyes, and bam! When I hit it, man, DB when I opened my eyes, DB already had picked it up. I ran to the sideline, went crazy. I mean, it was a moment like I never had in my career. And, man, I was thankful for that because it took all of us for sure.
Well, you and millions mm-hmm. were jumping up and down.
Man, I tell you.
What an amazing moment. It really was. All right, BG, we appreciate it. I mean, it's a long day for you. And you got BG Live tonight, which we're excited for at the Colonial Theater. But before we let you go with this segment, I got it. We need your advice. So Hugh saw that you wrote a children's book, right? Mm-hmm. BG's ABCs, Tackling Football and Life. I got it right here.
I want to try to write one.
And now Hugh wants to try it. So I need you to give Hugh children's book advice. This is pretty awesome.
No, it is. It really, really is.
Yeah.
Nah, it's cool. You know what? I went with something simple as the ABCs, and I want to go through every letter on what it meant to me for A is attitude. You gotta, and I thought about football, obviously, because as a team, you know, you gotta have those. What can I motivate, you know, the kids on, and those. That's why we did it, and we went down. It took probably 3 days total out my life to come through with all the stuff, but it was like, man, it was worth it because they put that together, and
I like it, man, and I like the pictures and everything?
Yeah, mm-hmm. illustrations.
I'm going to do the ABCs a petty, though.
That might not be a children's book.
Because I was telling Joe, I was like, man, like, I commend you for being as positive as you are, especially going through what you went through. Because mm-hmm. I told him I would be super petty. Mm-hmm. I said I would be telling people all the time, kiss my ass, don't be bothered, like, leave me alone, because I can't imagine what, you know, what you went through, how that felt early on in your career.
Yeah.
And then to have a flip side with everybody that you've seen in the past that had mean and hurtful things to say about you, all of a sudden your face smiling and giggling. That would be a problem for me.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I would let them know, because my pettiness is like no other, BG. And I would let them know every day. I like, yeah, I remember the mean and hurtful thing. I would have like little note cards for all mm-hmm. them cats that be in your face asking for autographs. Yep. Oh, yeah, this is what you said about me. Oh, yeah, I'd be petty. So I'm going to do the ABCs of petty.
Hey, I like that. You know what? I want you to be you. But I want you to do it PG style where you can still get them.
Yeah.
You know, but
I'm working on that, man. It's a work in progress.
And that's what I love to hear, man, because for me, I had to work on some things too myself. Like I say, listening to people. People don't want to hear that positive all the time.
I don't listen.
People don't want to hear that positive. They want to hear, they want to complain. So sometimes I'm going to let them complain. All right, you done? Now what are we going to do about it?
Yeah, you're right. I'm working on it. I'm still working.
Yeah, he's got a long way to go, but he's very BG, man, we appreciate you giving us some time.
We all grow at different
times.
Yeah,
it's all right. We all are. Congratulations on an amazing career. We're excited for tonight for BG Live. And a lot of players are sounding respected and like you're loved, man. I mean, just always remember that. You're loved by this city. Brandon Graham with us here. Brandon, thank you so much for joining us. And everyone will see you tonight at Colonial Theater.
Let's go. And, hey, this don't happen without the ones before me. So, Hugh, I appreciate all y'all
appreciate
guys,
you, man.
Ones before, because watching y'all, man, growing up, it's like we aspire to be here. And then you get here and you don't realize that you got to work for real while you here and to stay here. So, thank y'all for that motivation. And, man, when we won that first one, it was for everybody because y'all boys was right there at the dough, too, against them boys. They ain't do what they did.
No, y'all got the revenge.
I know.
Appreciate
we got the revenge.
That.
We definitely
that.
Got
appreciate
it for y'all.
That.
And that's crazy how both our Super Bowls, we got revenge on the teams that beat us before. So,
yeah, that's crazy.
Hopefully we out of that stage, though, that phase.
Yeah, just win them that when they get there. All right, there he goes. Brandon Graham. All right, we got a packed show today. We'll hear from a lot of former Eagles today. BG Day here on WIP. We'll get to your phone calls as well. Your chance to tell us why you love of BG. Jason Avant joins us coming up next, and we want to hear from you as well. 215-592-9494. It is the Midday Show on BG Day on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
7-1, don't think I ain't going to come get you. I'm coming to get you. Oh, yeah, 7-5. I see you on film, boy. Don't worry, folks. I'm coming. 2-8. You too slow for me, man. You good, dog.
He ain't blowing hard, I promise you. Now he's going to do it the whole game. Hey, next play, next play. All right, y'all get 3 and out.
You,
3 and out right here, all right? Hey. Hey!
Yeah, next play, let's go. I know, I got you. You know I'm with you, Flex.
All right.
Welcome back, Midday Show.
Me and you both didn't turn on
mic. Yeah, well, it's a different kind of start to the show.
You didn't in the opening segment.
I didn't. Yeah. You caught that.
I had to turn on for you.
It happens.
Lock in.
That's
lock
why
in.
Kyle's here. All right, 215-592.
No, it's Cinco de Mayo.
You started early?
Cinco de Dos,
well, I did Cinco de Dos.
That's not what it is.
Oh, yeah. I hung out.
Five
it was cool.
5-2?
Yeah, Cinco de Dos.
Yeah.
Then I did Cinco de Trace.
Cinco de Trace, and then Cinco de Cuatro.
Cuatro.
And then?
Cinco de Cuatro was jumping yesterday.
Was it? What'd you do?
Joe. My son wanted to go to Red Lobster.
You went to Red Lobster yesterday? I haven't been to Red Lobster in a long time.
Me neither. I thought they
those biscuits still jumping?
Cheddar Bay biscuits on deck.
Those biscuits are unreal.
Hey, man.
That's the butter. It's the butter.
We sprinted through them Cheddar Bay biscuits like it was a good. We had a good old time. It was awesome.
Kind of jealous, to be honest with you. All right,
is today Cinco de Cinco?
Cinco de Cinco. Yes, it is. Special day, BG Live on Cinco de Cinco. All right, 215-592-9494. It's obviously a different start to the show. We appreciate Brandon being in here with us. We're going to get to some phone calls here and throughout the show. So just quickly, we have a lot of great guests that are going to join us over the course of the show. Jason Avant, a little bit Rhea Hughes, as she always is every Monday in studio. Later on, we will talk to LeSean McCoy, Brian Dawkins, and we'll let you hear again from Jeff Lurie, who joined the morning show first time on WIP in 30-plus years. So
30 of them things.
We'll let you hear what Jeff Lurie had to say this morning. Great interview on the morning show. It's a day to celebrate Brandon Graham. It's a day to take your phone calls, 215-592-9494. Hugh, before we jump into taking everyone's calls and talking here, it was great to talk to Brandon. And I think today is a day for us and the callers to just talk about why we love BG. And I meant what I said to him. Hugh, there's a lot. We talk to people every day on this show. And there's a lot of players in this town people respect, right? Mm-hmm. You respect their ability, talent. There's a lot of good players that have played here and still play here. And there's a lot of players people like, right? They're good players. And they've done a nice job. And they do what their best for Philadelphia. There's a select group that people love as players here.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Graham became a player that is beloved. Like, you don't get a BG day. You don't get the Colonial Theater sold out tonight for any player.
He's special.
He's loved in this town.
Yeah. And you know what the thing that, and I know people are saying, I'm harping on it, but he was never bitter. That's the biggest thing. Now, we've had examples of athletes in our city that, you know, the fan base could be a little rough. We know the fan base. I mean, we're here. We're part of it.
Yep.
And it could be a little rough. And for a lot of people, it's handled one of two ways. Either you just, you know, become a person that just resents the fan base or resents being here, or you become somebody who becomes indifferent. BG embraced it. I think that's what makes him as beloved as he is, because he never shied away from it. He embraced it. And I just find it fascinating that for a guy who his career, it didn't start out the way that he wanted it to start out, but he kept his nose to the grindstone, and now he is one of the most beloved Eagles to ever play the game, and there's nobody in this city that you could find that remembers those days. He remembers them. Him and his family remember them, but you can't find a person in this city who, if they're being honest or not, that would say that they've always remembered Brandon as the person that he is now. Nobody remembers that guy that first got here, that they, you know, were trying to label a bust or anything like that. And I commend him for that, because I can't imagine. The 1 year I was in Jacksonville was the closest that I've ever felt to being, you know, inadequate because of, you know, the way it went down and how it went for me down there. But to be in a situation where the first couple years you're in the NFL – and people have doubted your abilities, and there was talk about getting rid of you and all this other stuff. And you persevered through all of that to become one of the greatest Eagles to ever play the game, to be a guy who had one of the absolute greatest plays in the history of the franchise. and to come back in a year, in your last year, and to play at the high level that you were playing at before you got hurt and win another Super Bowl. I mean, that is a phenomenal career. That is a phenomenal career to have. And through all of that, still in here smiling, still in here being positive, that's the amazing thing to me about what BG has accomplished. The fact that, could you imagine, I'm pretty sure back in the day in Twitter and all this other good stuff, some of the stuff that was being said about him. But he rose above all of that. That should be a lesson for everybody that does what we do or has done what we do or in the media business or whatever. Don't let these people that have something negative to say about you, you know, write your story for you. You know, write your own story. Don't worry about that. The people that have the most to say about you are doing the absolute least.
Well, and you're right about persevering. I mean, that's a great word to describe his career because he persevered over his first few years. Hugh, when I think of BG and why I love his career, why he's a great guy and why I think so many people love him, to me, Hugh, he and the Eagles, like, their stories are very similar because to me, if you have a hard worker and they're talented and they're smart, eventually it's going to work, right?
Yeah.
It's like,
and they stuck with him.
They stuck with him.
In a time in the NFL.
Yep.
See, that's the most, not to cut you off,
no,
Joe,
go ahead.
But that's the most fascinating thing about this whole thing. How he stuck with him.
Yes, he stuck with him. And I always think hard work, talent, smarts. If you have those three, keep betting on that person or that team, and eventually it's going to go through. And Hugh, it took a while for BG, right? But I think his story parallels the Eagles. You know, the Eagles have been one of the best teams in the NFL probably since you got here, right?
Mm-hmm.
25, 27 years, been a long time. But they didn't win anything until, what, 8 years ago?
Yes.
But everyone that was paying attention, like, underneath knew, like, they're good. Like, the Eagles are really smart.
They just got to break through.
And that, to me, that was Brandon's story. Brandon was a good player. It just took a while for him to get healthy and to get his head the right way and to figure and get with the right defensive coordinator. Because really, until it was Jim Schwartz, he didn't have – I just thought it was not right, right?
Yeah, they didn't know what to do. Like he said, he made a joke, he got a little fluffy, and he moved to defensive line.
Right.
So, yeah, and it is one of those things, man, where it was a perfect storm for him. Right defensive coordinator, right system.
Yep.
The smarts.
And patience. And
very patient. Very, very patient.
And now look, I mean, if I had told anyone in 2010 the Eagles, you know, will one day be looked at as the best or right there as the top one or two organization in football, most people would have said, they got to win something first. Well, now they've won two, and they've been to three Super Bowls, you know, in the last 8 years. And if I had said Brandon Graham would go down as one of the greatest Eagles of all time, people would have laughed. I mean, I said that to him, and he kind of laughed. It would have been a laughable thing, but you gave...
It doesn't register for
right.
him, with
but,
him yet.
But you know what? Patience with a hard worker, with smarts, with talent. You bet on those people, and eventually it works. And Brandon Graham worked in an enormous way, and he helped the Eagles become this. 215-592-9494. Kyle, I think when he retired, you said he's the greatest Eagle. Why do you love BG?
Yeah, I mean, he's Philadelphia personified in a football player. I mean, you guys both talked about it. It's been talked about all day, just from where he started and to where he ended. Like, I truly believe that he put together the single greatest career in possibly Philadelphia sports history, all things considered. And now, trust me, I know, like, because I get pushed back on this when I've said it before. I know there have been better players that have worn the Eagles uniform. Like, we've had Reggie White and all that stuff. Like, you know, NFL Hall of Famers. But nobody played more games in an Eagles uniform. No other Eagles. Well, you know, there's a few, but he's one of the Eagles who won two Super Bowls mm-hmm. with the team, which has, you know, not been done since before he got here. And he made the single biggest play in Philadelphia Eagles history. Like, the strip sack of Tom Brady will go down in history, not just for the Philadelphia Eagles, but in NFL history. He's just in so many different ways. And like, I mean, you know, we had him in studio earlier today, and then every other time that I've seen him, he's just like one of the nicest, most genuine guys
yep.
ever. So just, I mean, there's so many reasons to love Brandon Graham, but just like as a Philadelphia sports fan, always craving that championship, the Super Bowl, and for him to bring two to the city the way that he did, like nobody better.
And always positive. Even Brandon was, at times, was so positive, he annoyed me. like seriously.
Well, we had fun with it, like when they were having their tough years, and
yes.
there weren't many, but a few of them, and he always would be like, "Are we could get it together." But I think that's why he became what he became.
Yes.
He had that in, I mean, he talked about his book, right? He had that thing, that positive attitude helped push him forward. And Kyle mentioned those moments. I mean, the reality is you can't write the story of pro football without Brandon Graham's name somewhere in there. He had the strip sack on Tom Brady.
Yes.
That's one of the biggest moments in the history of the Super Bowl. And then two, He just played on one of the greatest defenses of all time that just destroyed one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Like, Patrick Mahomes is obviously one of the greatest quarterbacks ever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Graham was on a defense that destroyed him, that made him look worse than maybe we've ever seen him play.
Yeah, and you know, like I said, persevered through all that, was always positive. I think back on Brandon when even last year, you know, when they had the rough year, and he was like, "We're going to bounce back, y'all
yep.
to see."
Yep.
And I just remember that about him. And it's something to be said about, you know, being in a position – kind of like I am every day here. Like when you try to spew positivity and you try to teach people.
Trust me, I see how it gets annoying.
And nobody hears you, but you have to believe in yourself. Every day I work with two individuals that are just negative Nancy.
Are you trying to gain favor with the audience by saying you are Brandon Graham?
All I'm saying is.
This guy's unbelievable.
You're going to make us fight on BG Day?
There's some parallels between my positivity and Brandon Graham. That's all I'm saying.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Brandon Graham was positive. You're delusional. And there's a difference.
And happy birthday to Bear Brooks, because, you know, Bear's birthday today. It's probably going to get lost in BG Day. So,
well, it is.
So,
Bear,
you're
sorry, but
happy birthday.
I didn't want to have to pull this card, but we were talking about the inflection point of this season with Brandon Graham and the receiver and the quarterback. You handled that a little bit differently in your time, Hugh.
What are you talking about?
You punched T.O. in the face in the locker room?
Well, see, first of all, I am growing, and I've grown since those days.
Sure.
And I'm taking a page from BG's book, his children's book right here, as a shameless plug right here, the children's book.
Show it to everyone on YouTube.
The
there.
ABCs.
BG's ABCs.
Talking football and life. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take my cues from this here.
You're going to write the adult version with Petty?
Well,
because it can't be for kids with Petty. You don't want to teach kids Petty.
Well,
little kids, Petty?
Not little kids. Okay, there'd probably be a book for like the 12 to 13
there you
year
olds. There you
like,
go.
Just write two versions, one explicit and one for kids.
That would work for you.
Yeah, that would definitely
all right, 215-592-9494. This hour at 94 WIP, fueled by Sunoco 94 Octane. If you demand peak performance for your vehicle, then nothing less than Sunoco 94 Octane. We'll do treat card 94 only at Sunoco. All right, today, and it's a different show, but we do have a $100 gift card at Sunoco to give away. The best caller we get today with this. Why do you love BG? Why you love BG? Best one we get today is going to win this $100 gift card. Let's go to the phones. Chris in Middletown starts us off on BG Day. Chris, what's up, buddy?
Happy Brandon Graham Day, man.
Happy Brandon Graham Day. What's up, Chris?
Hugh Douglas, you're a damn liar.
What I lie about today?
You already wrote your book. I read your book when I first got hired and graduated from college. They handed me the company handbook and said, you got to read where all the rules are. I read your book.
Yeah, Brandon's positive. You're a company man.
No,
there
I'm
is
not
a
company man.
The whole audience knows it.
That is not
it
true.
It said it right in there, written by Hugh Douglas, former Eagles. Great. Former.
Not a company man.
Former Eagle, great, current company man on WIP. That's his title. Go ahead, Chris.
Guys, here's why I love BG. BG... I share a similar walk with BG as far as my faith, and that his humbleness and growth with his faith is unbelievable. It's inspiring. The man continued to walk the Lord's path while he went through the fire, and it made him stronger. It made him better equipped to walk the walk of life. And that, at the end of the day, for me personally, is an example, because that's iron sharpening iron. That's an example for me to follow. So that's where I'm at. Now, as far as his career, it started off on the wrong foot when, you know, he went to the wrong Big Ten university. He should have went to linebacker at Penn State. But, you know, BG turned the tide. And I hope he stays true to what's important. Now that he's retired, he doesn't sell it, become a company man like some other people we know. And I don't think he's going to, but I love BG, and all I want to say to BG is just a heartfelt thank you. Sir, thank you for what you've done. I know you endured a lot, and thank you. Howie and Jeff, there's a job to be done. Hang number 55 from the rafters and retire that number. Nobody else gets to wear it. He is one of a kind. He is the only one. He is Brandon G-R-A-H-A-M. Brandon Graham, Eagle for life.
Chris, appreciate the phone call. We appreciate it. Hey, what do you that I've heard that idea a couple times.
Retire
to
jersey.
Retire 55.
Yeah. That sounds about right. That sounds about right for what he's been to this organization, for how he's first draft picked. I can't see it being any other way. I mean, man, it's Brandon to me is if he's not the greatest Eagle to ever play.
He's right there.
He's right there.
And I think the way Kyle said it is accurate. When you're the greatest Eagle, doesn't mean you're the greatest person ever wear the uniform, right?
Like Reggie White, you're the greatest player,
right? Reggie White wore the uniform.
I mean, it's.
But it's what he did here.
Well, it's. I think it's hard for fans to fathom, because when I said it, the last time I said it, and it was on, they clipped it. A lot of people arguing about it, about whether or not he was the greatest Eagle, and that's the people who are just looking at it from a football standpoint.
Statistically, right.
Yes, yeah. They're looking at it from a football standpoint, and that's fine if that's the way that you want to look at Brandon. I tend to want to look a little deeper. I'm talking about Brandon as a whole individual. And I know I always say it tongue-in-cheek and I'm laughing, but there's to go through what Brandon went through, it tends to make people bitter. That is the first reaction that you have. That's the first human reaction. Nobody likes you. Nobody believes in you. You become bitter. You become jaded. And when you do have success, you tend to take, you know, you do the Delco poop and you take dumps on people. You tend to
don't be the Delco
poop. No, but I'm saying that's
figuratively.
Yeah, figuratively. Yeah. You not internalize literally that hatred for certain things. And like I said, I said it jokingly, but I'm serious. I don't know what type of individual I would have been if I would have went through what he went through,
yeah,
and then had to sit somewhere and look at all these people that looked at me and probably said negative things about me and smile and just, you know, just act like ain't nothing happened. That would be hard for me, because I know that he's probably ran up on folks that has some mean stuff to say about him, but he handles it like a true human being. He rises above all that. That to me is commendable, because like I said, your first reaction, my first reaction would be, damn you, screw you.
So I wonder, and I don't know this, I just wonder if it's like a chicken or the egg thing. I wonder if he was more of a petty person, would he have been able to channel it the right way? You know,
yeah.
I actually think because he's so positive and he doesn't think like that, he was able to get through it. Like it didn't burden him. He like pushed it to the side and it just kept going. He's a role model. I mean, yeah, on top of being a tremendous player.
All of that. And I don't think people realize that. And to me, it carries more weight, especially in these days that we're in now. The fact that, you know, you went through what you went through and you're still a beacon of positivity. Like there's nobody that can say any, even when Brandon had that moment where he flamed AJ, still was able to bounce back from that.
You know what? It's interesting you bring that up, because other players may have been ripped for that by fans. You're causing a wedge in the locker room.
Yeah.
But I think actually people's respect for him was like, well, wait, if he's saying it,
it must be something to
right,
it. Because he doesn't say anything negative.
Right. Maybe that wasn't the best way to do it. But whatever. We all thought, hey, there must be something going on. He said it. Now let's fix it. 215-592-9494. Nicholas in Langhorne talking about BG. What's up, Nicholas?
Good morning, Joe, Hugh, Kyle. How are you guys?
What's
good morning,
going on,
Nicholas.
Man?
What's up, buddy?
Nothing, man. I'm celebrating 3 years of Cinco de Married today. Marital bliss for 3 years.
Oh, congratulations. Happy anniversary. Sure. Yeah, that's awesome.
Thank you. I thought to myself, if I had to share a day like this with anyone or anything, BG Day would be absolutely perfect. So I'm excited to call and be online with you guys here today.
Well, that's awesome. All right, Nick, why do you love BG? What is it about him, his career, that made you love him as a player?
Two words come to mind. Kind of echo some sentiments already brought forth here today, but two words are inspiration and relatability. Inspiration because of his career. I mean, all of us in life can relate now. Usually with sports and our passion for our teams, it's just that. It's the sport. It's the logo on the helmet. But we can relate to this guy and the name on the back of the jersey. Few guys have done that. You know, Jason Kelce obviously comes to mind. But Brandon Graham, for what he's done in his career, the ups and downs, it personifies life in general. Like, we are not going to be perfect. We're not going to be the best. He probably knew that, too. He wasn't going to be the best defensive end ever to play for the Eagles. But he worked hard every single day and came with that positive attitude, and he turned out to have what we know is a Hall of Fame career for the Philadelphia Eagles. And it's been a joy to watch his career.
It really has. And now we get to celebrate and say, Nicholas, good phone call, man. We appreciate it. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard. Yeah, he's an Eagles Hall of Famer for sure. And he had, I mean, really a career that was probably, and I say probably, one notch below Pro Football Hall of Fame. But boy, he had some huge moments. And
he had
played
a hell of a career, man.
A hell of a career. He played on two Super Bowl champions. He won three NFC championships. And he made the biggest play in the history of this franchise. 215-592-9494. Rhea will join us next in studios. Your calls for why you love Brandon Graham. Best call wins the Sunoco gift card. $100 on BG Day. 215-592-9494. Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.